Hello, everyone. And after a few weeks' absence, we are back. Welcome to the Depressed Breakfast Club podcast. Geez, it's been so long, I forgot what I say. So we're not medical professionals. Blah, blah, blah. Don't take us, you know, take us with a grain of salt type thing. Okay, Joy, if you do have mental health struggles, and you feel like you need a little help, especially around the holidays, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. Joyelle's got some phone numbers for you.
Joyelle. Okay, so if you're feeling suicidal or you need somebody to talk to, you can call the Suicide Hotline in Canada at 1-833-456-4566, or you can text 45645. And in the States, you can call 988 or you can text talk to 741-741. So if you're feeling suicidal, you need somebody to talk to, or you can report somebody to if you think they are suicidal and need somebody to talk to. And on to Taylor.
Well, that was one eventful introduction. clearly, we cannot go 3 weeks without being able to practice her line.
I'm old.
She's like, I say things at this point in time. What is it? I don't know. But I warn people something. So, as always, our email address is depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com. All lowercase. We'd love to hear from you guys. For the random quote that I went for this week, I picked one that we've saved ages ago. Try not to get lost in comparing yourself to others. Discover your gifts and let them shine. I kind of figured it was a good one to go with, seeing as it's the time of year. Like, I think people horribly compare themselves to each other during the holiday season, just because everyone has that thought of, oh, well, Timmy's mom got him an Xbox Series X and James' mom got him a PlayStation 5, but I only got the sock collection. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, the season of competition, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even as adults, like friends and coworkers,
mm-hmm.
you have that competition, like, oh, Betty bought me this beautiful coffee basket that has like cookies and mugs and fresh coffee in it. What am I going to get Betty that's going to be more expensive?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that competition, and it's hard for people that are on a budgeted income.
Yes.
Because then they feel like shit. And the worst thing ever somebody can do is knock down somebody that gives them a homemade gift.
I do not understand the point of knocking someone down for that. Like, for me, it's one of those things of, if I see something that makes me think of one of the people I know, I'm like, oh, I'm going to grab that for them. And let me make this clear for anyone listening and anyone in the future, I'll repeat it to them. I'll probably put like a little hashtag with it when I post it and share it. But when I get someone something, I have no expectations whatsoever of getting anything back. So just because I get you something for Christmas, like, I will tell you two girls right now, I have gotten you things for Christmas.
Oh, you bitch.
A jar of pickles. I think I got a jar of pickles. Because she's like, when I see things that remind me of somebody.
I'm going to wrap everywhere. Up Peanut's book.
I don't
care. Already know she's getting.
I don't care if you wrap it or not. I'm happy.
Gee, I wonder what it's gonna be.
I'll put a fucking bow on that bitch.
Oh, have a holly jolly Christmas, and I hope this scares you. But to me, it's one of those things of like, I'll just grab it and toss it to someone because I'm like, okay, hey, you like, one of my friends loves Sour Patch Kids. If I see them, I will grab them for her and share them with her and give them to her, just because I'm like, hey, I remember you saying that you love Sour Patch Kids. Here you go.
She's giving us a hint.
She likes the Sour Patch Kids. That's it. I'm going to the fucking bulk part, and every sour candy I find, you're getting a bag of it.
I didn't even think of that. It's actually one of the girls at work, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I do like sour candy. You're right.
But, you know, that, no, seriously, that would be a good gift.
Oh, my God,
for,
yes.
For somebody that is, like, a person that loves those. My, see, my jaw hurts just talking about it. Get that tingling in my joints. That likes those sour candies that are covered in sour sugar. You buy a mason jar and just layer them.
Hell
and
yeah.
And then put, tie a ribbon around it. Perfect gift.
Yep. Well, the one year I can remember for Christmas, Mama likes to do, like, themes. So each year it's she'll find something that she's like, oh, this will be good for everyone. And that's what everyone gets that year. One year is Rocky Horror Picture Show. Another year it was
an excellent gift, by the way, Mama.
Yes, it was. Another year it was she discovered how to make actual hot chocolate. Like natural hot chocolate without like any added sugar, so it wasn't just a whole bunch of sweetener and all that. So she mixed it all together, put it together, put a little bow on the mason jar, and gave that out to everyone for Christmas. They were like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is so great. She's like, yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Nice.
So it's like, and it was simple to do. It wasn't extravagant. It was just a thoughtful thing that went, oh, you know what? People will probably like this. And it's fucking fantastic.
But it is. It's crazy how many people don't appreciate either a homemade gift mm-hmm. or a gift that was made by a local small business. It's almost like that person thinks you didn't put any thought into what you bought them, whereas you're like, I'm going to make them this amazing thing because I know they would like it. Blows my mind. Just blows my mind.
Good example. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go.
I was going to say a good example was my ex, mind who we've since gotten rid of. I got rid of mine. Like, I smashed the living shit out of it because of, obviously, anger. But my ex, the very first Christmas that we were together, she shipped up a whole bunch of shit. So got fucking delicious, amazing cinnamon cookies. Oh, my God. They were so good. And she sent up these clay bake dragon things that she makes because she absolutely loves dragons. So in her mind, she makes them and then she'll just kind of make them in a stylish way that kind of reflects the other person that she's making for them.
Okay.
They're, mind you, now that we're not together, I can say, holy fuck, are they ugly.
Oh my God, is that the one you showed me, Mama's?
Yes.
That was hideous. I thought a 5-year-old made it. I'm so sorry.
That's the one. So I had one too that was Egyptian style. And the moment that she like pulled the rug out from under me, it was like smash. It was dead. But you saw how ugly it was. Now, mind you, when we got it, Mama and I were both like, oh my God, this is so nice. It's beautiful. It's great. Here, we'll put it on display. Because she spent hours making it. Like, Mama asked me, she's like, what'd you do? Do this in 5 minutes? I looked at her and went, no. We would watch TV shows and we'd watch like an hour or two of it. And every time that she'd do it, because of her ADD, it works better if she keeps her hands busy while watching TV so she can watch for longer. So she sat there for all like 2 hours every single time we did it, working away on that stupid looking fucking dragon that you saw. So that took her probably about, I'll say 12 hours.
Lord have mercy.
And that's how it turned out. And y'all know how nice Dana is. And the moment I gave it to her during the summer to look at it, she just looked me in the face and went, the fuck is this?
It's a true story. I'm sad because it was a homemade gift, but I'm not sad because of the aftershock of receiving that gift. Like, if you guys were still together, of course I'd be like, that's a fucking gorgeous dragon. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But no, you guys remember Esther that worked with mm-hmm. us at the last couple of years that the five of us, and I say the five of us, you guys know the group I'm talking about.
Yep.
We would, in the new year, usually around the 2nd, January 2nd, before we'd go back to work, the five of us would get together for lunch, and we'd exchange gifts. Esther always made homemade cards. Like she drew the pictures on the cards, wrote the inside. Spectacular. Like, I mean, spectacular. Her gifts were homemade.
Mm-hmm.
But they were all tuned to the individual she gave them to. So, like, one year she gave me, like a floor tile. But she had taken pictures of the two of us together and cut them out and made like a collage of photos of the two of us together and then sealed it.
That's so cool.
Right? So how do you not appreciate something like that? Because mm-hmm. you think of, she had to go through pictures of the two of us, print them off, cut them out, put them on tile, seal it. You know, it's the personalization
mm-hmm.
of receiving something like that, in my opinion.
Yep.
It bothers me when others are less receptive to that. No names mentioned.
But we know.
We know.
So, yeah, I honestly can say I've never felt like I was in competition to give somebody a gift. If we set a limit, I stuck to the limit because, in my opinion, that limit was made because somebody within our gift-giving circle mm-hmm. couldn't afford more than that. So I would stick within the limit, but there was always that one person that had to go grandioso, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I was at the mall. Well, you know, A, I haven't been at the fucking mall in 10 years. B, the limit was $25. You can't buy nothing at the mall for $25.
Oh, not anymore, no.
So, you know, and then the person that had done, like, I don't want to say the low-level gifts, not the homemade gifts, but the gifts that put together like little gift baskets for mm-hmm. each individual, that person was made to feel like shit because the gifts in the basket weren't up to some people's standards. So, like, oh my God, there was a dollar store wine glass in there. You know,
oh,
what?
No, how dare if you actually buy more?
If it holds wine, it holds wine. You can drink from it. Doesn't matter where it came from. So, yeah, it's. And think about that. Think about that from the mental health aspect of it. If you're that person who made these incredible gifts and 3 out of 5 don't appreciate, how does that affect you, your mental health?
Oh, God, yeah. Talk about a good way to just beat you down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I have a question for you two girls, because I was outvoted in a different friend group.
Oh.
So for me, I don't really care if people give me, like, gift me gifts, like tangible gifty things. I truly don't. Like, I will accept that as much as I will accept and be happy for money or a gift card or gift certificate. I am fine when people give, like, for me, because I fucking hated all of the shit that my father and his wife used to get me for all freaking holidays. For example, you two know me well. Do you think that I screamed at the age of, I think I was 13, oh boy, get me nothing but makeup for Christmas?
Oh God.
No.
But do you know what I got for Christmas that year from my stepmother?
The complete palette from Estee Lauder.
The one from Shoppers Drug Mart. Oh, the giant fucking thing that had 5 billion. Yep.
48 eyeshadows.
Yes, that's the one. And yeah, then on top of that, because I didn't just get that, I then also got several different eyeliners, several different lip glosses, nail polishes, a shirt. No word of a lie. You can ask Mama. I don't think we have it anymore. I think we finally got rid of it. But a shirt with a V-neck that went down to my belly button. Hot pink with stars on it.
Oh my God.
It's not like my stepmother hadn't known me for years. But she decided, she's like, well, you know, her words exactly were, well, you know, you're at the age you should start acting girly. Merry Christmas to me.
What the fuck does that mean, acting girly? She wanted you to go and get pregnant at 13.
I'm thinking so, because of how low down that V-neck went. Like, the fuck do you want me to do with this? Like, let me be clear to people. My boobs came in when I was like 11. They were not small at any age.
My God, I'm surprised she didn't tell you she rented you a fucking corner.
I brought it home. And then she also bought me, to go with that, just for the complete opposite, she also bought me freaking overalls, jean overalls with a pant circumference that had to be about 2 feet wide. And had stretchy suspenders. So I said to Mama when I got home, and she made me show off all of the stuff.
Of course she did.
She was like, oh, we're doing a fashion show. Wear it. So I come walking out in these things. I'm like, oh, yeah, sexy, aren't I?
You and five other people.
So I showed it off to her. I was like, how do I nicely tell them to stop buying me things? I just want gift cards and money. And we can tell the entire family that, because you know what? I've gotten to the age, I'm like, I want different things all the time. And it's not the normal. Like, I don't want girly shit at all. So then it became, I just want, give me cash or give me gift cards. Not to the mall. Give me gift cards to EB Games. Like, I was very specific. I wrote out a list. Gift card, EB Games, or cash. That was it. Like, I kept it really small. I still end up with girly shit every year.
I told Norm I wanted to do our wedding registry at EB Games, and he said no.
That would have been amazing.
I mean, we already had built a house and we're living in it for 2 fucking years. We didn't need shit.
That would have been so cool.
Right?
Oh, hell yeah. Now I want to get married.
You know what? Mary Peanut. Mary Peanut. You guys register an EB game so we're all good. We'll all be set.
We'll get married and adopt Dana.
Amber.
We'll have adoption day. And on adoption day, we'll register again at EB Games.
Okay, so Peanut. What was the worst gift you've ever received through your whole lifetime?
Oh my God, my sister. She meant it as a joke, but the one year I was...
I thought you meant your sister was the worst gift.
Like,
She's the worst gift I ever got. You should have swallowed her.
Okay, go ahead.
I was so disappointed. And you have to think this is going back into like the 80s and stuff. A chia head.
Those were all the rage, though.
I forget what I gave her, but it was something like so thoughtful, like so her. And then I opened up my gift and it was a chia head.
Like a chia.
Yeah, but the ugly head, the chia, yeah, chia pet. That's what it was. It was when it was just the cow.
The animals.
Yeah, just the cow or something. It was all like the shiny green.
Wow.
Now, I have received two chias in my life. One is Bob Ross, and one was a zombie. I have I remember grown those. Neither. They're still in my room in the box. But I'm just saying.
So, I for me, like, the last couple years, for at least the last few years anyways, you know, I've lived on one income, rising prices of rent and everything.
Yep.
I've had health issues, so financially I've been struggling pretty hard. And I just don't have, like, money, like, spare money to buy people gifts. And so for me, when somebody gives me a gift and I don't have something in return, I feel like such a heel. Like, it really, really plays with my mental health, because I feel like just like shit. Like, you know, like, it's not that I don't think about, like, these, like, you know, it's not that I don't want to. And that, but then I just feel like crap because people, like, you got me something and I didn't get you anything.
So, I understand your feelings, but can you try to look at it as the person that gave you the gift obviously knows you well enough to know your financial situation?
Mm-hmm.
So you know that the gift they're giving you comes with no strings attached. And
yeah, but I still feel like crap.
Yeah, but that's something, like, that's something that would be good
to
bring up.
You can work on, yeah.
I was just going to say, that'd be something really good to bring up in therapy, because I find one of the issues that a lot of people run into with that is because so many of us have been burned along the way where someone will give you something and then they throw it back in your face later on. Like,
hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. I was just gonna say, like, oh, hey, I got you this job.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things of, it's why I always tell people, I'm like, just because I got you something, I have my expectations set so low that I expect nothing back in return. Absolutely nothing. Just because I grabbed you a jar, we'll use the jar of pickles as an example.
Jumbo jar of pickles.
Here you go. I got you the big. I bought. Hold on. They're bringing it in now. They have to train lift it into your room.
It comes in on a lift.
But for me, it's one of those. I know that if I'm giving something to someone, I expect there's no strings attached to it. I'm not going to throw it in your face and be like, oh, hey, I gave you that back in 2023 for Christmas Eve. I gifted you this and you gifted me nothing. But in other people's circumstances, like my ex, 100%, would sit there and tally all the stuff like, oh, yeah, well, I've gotten all these things for so-and-so, so it's not a fair, like, she keeps tallies of what she gets versus what other people get. Like, she doesn't want to feel like she owes anyone, but she wants to outdo them. So then she wants to be able to overshine them and get them something better and say, okay, well, I got you a bunch of these little things. And then you're like, okay, but that's not the point of it. Like, the reason I got the jar of pickles was because I know that Peanut is obsessed with pickles. And she is the first person that I think of when I'm like, oh, pickle Peanut.
you know what that reminds me of? Those people that go on social media. And I'm not talking creators or celebrities. I'm talking the people on your friends list. That go on social media and are so proud that they went into the McDonald's and bought that homeless man a Happy Meal and then, like, took fucking pictures of it.
Mm-hmm. Which, like, by the way, my ex does that. My ex, like, is that person. Like,
oh, good
that,
God.
That is probably the lowest form of humanity you can get to.
Mm-hmm. Is
when you use somebody's, like
situation,
you know, their bad situation to boost your ego.
Yep. My ex was atrocious for doing that. And I remember I called her out on it a few times, especially near the end of all things for us. And I was like, you're not doing things. I was like, you do it for attention because you post all about it. And then she got mad because... Then I called her and she's like, well, now I don't know if I should say things about stuff and do it. It's like, the answer is no. If you're truly doing it to be helpful to someone, there should be no sign of it anywhere. If the person that you helped wants to post, hey, thank you, this is a shout out for so-and-so helping me, then that's their choice. But if you go and post and go, oh, I went and helped Dana move a dead body today. I'm such a good friend.
Please don't post that on the internet, Peanut.
Then,
we need to keep that one a secret.
That's it. Well, like, but then you're doing it to call attention to yourself and your good deed. Well, you just undid your good deed by announcing it to everyone and their brother and anyone who will listen. And she was one of those narcissists who would go around and tell everyone about the things going on in her life and what she did and how, oh, well, she drove across town to go bring this adorable lesbian couple, this, I don't even remember, some sort of like Pokemon thing. And that she went out of her way to do it and then would post about it, then tell everyone about it. It's like, okay, well, it's not a good deed when you do that.
There was somebody from VP that promptly deleted and blocked me when... They wrote a status saying that they had done something like the McDonald's thing, but it wasn't McDonald's, you know. But they had gone out of their way, and I'm doing air quotes, friends, had gone out of their way to buy a meal to give to this poor person that looked like they were starving to death, right? And I commented, I'm like, well, don't break your arm patting yourself on the back for that one. And mm-hmm. They promptly deleted me and blocked me. And I was like, went to work the next day. I'm like, didn't like my comment.
It's funny how people don't really like comments like that when you're like, well, you're being a douche.
No, because they want those. Oh, you're such a good person. Oh, your mm-hmm. mother raised you right. Oh, your family must be so proud of you.
So, like, we were talking, like, you guys were talking about, like, homemade gifts and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I love things like that, to receive things like that. And I find that, like, well, first off, as you get older, and that it's not the same as when you're a child as far as gifts. But, and like, so my dad and the Nazi usually give me $200, okay, for Christmas. But... which is, you know, okay, I like the money and stuff like that. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes it's nice, like, if somebody gets you a gift that's kind of personalized.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be $200. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's a lot of times, like just in general conversations with my dad and them, that I'd be like, oh yeah, you know, I'd really like an Instant Pot, or I really like an air fryer, or I'd really like this, or I could really use the that. And sometimes I'll admit I'm a little disappointed when Christmas comes and I just get
money,
a check for $200, because yeah. It's like, yeah, but like I hinted at all these things, and then I feel like you just don't, you're not even putting an effort into it. And a couple times I've gotten gift cards, which again, I like gift cards, don't get me wrong, but I don't go to Shoppers Drug Mart. So
no, they're just, too expensive.
You gave me a gift. Yeah. So it's like you gave me a gift card to Shoppers Drug Mart because that's where you go.
Mm-hmm.
And that you, like, you've known me for 20 years. I don't go to Shoppers Drug Mart.
Now wait a minute. Your father's known you for longer than 20 years, just saying.
I should hope so.
Yeah.
He was there at conception, I hear.
Maybe.
Sometimes he's not really the father.
Sometimes I wish not. But, and then, or it's like, you know, I'll say, like, or again, like, I really could use, like, some more, I really could use some bedding or some towels, or, you know, I need some clothing and that. And, like, so how about a gift card to, like, Walmart?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe a gift card to Canadian Tire, because I said I wanted like appliances or stuff, right? And then I get a gift card to the dollar store.
The dollar store?
Yeah, I don't shop at the dollar store.
I was going to say, that's one of the things where, I was just going to say, that's exactly it, where I don't understand why people, like obviously in Dana's case, I would think, hey, know what I should get her? An EB Games gift card. That's not going to not be used. For Peanut, it'd be like, okay, I know you get your favorite pickles from Walmart, so it'd be Walmart. Or, I just had one and it left. I had another one, but it's gone now. But it's one of those things of, I appreciate getting the money in gift cards, because then I can go buy whatever.
Yeah.
But when you know someone, you get them the right gift cards, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, for Peanut, you don't give her Shoppers Drug Mart. She doesn't go there. Like, that's just a stupid gift card to give her.
Like, or that would be like giving me a gift card to Red Lobster.
Yes.
Yeah, same here, because I don't eat seafood, yeah.
Exactly.
And sometimes I feel like, why didn't you just give me, like, then, like, the MasterCard gift card?
Mm-hmm.
Or the Visa gift card.
Like, oh, yeah, the preloaded ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, I know it's supposed to be the thought that counts, but to me, sometimes, like, there's no thought in it.
I was just going to say that's perfectly put, Peanut.
It's like, I just
that's
always,
exactly it.
Like, I always give you $200, but my gift doesn't have to be $200. Like, you don't have to spend $200 on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could just, like, you know, you've known me, you know things that I like and they're not, I don't have super expensive taste. And so sometimes it's just, it makes me a little sad.
Mm-hmm.
And that you can't take the time to really buy me or make me even something personalized, like something that is aimed towards my likes.
So, 2 points, if I can remember them. One, like, I agree with you so wholeheartedly with that, where it's, you feel the opposite way, like, whenever they're like, oh yeah, it's the thought that counts. I'm like, yeah, but if you get me something that is not something that I like the Shoppers Drug Mart card, that to me is the opposite of thought. It's like, okay, well, you didn't have a thought about me. You were thinking, hey, I'm here, I'll just conveniently grab. Like, what's weird to me in that situation is that now the gift cards are literally on those spirally spinny thingies.
Yeah.
So you could just go next door to it and be like, oh, here's a Visa one instead. And that would be a better thought. Like, that would show more thoughtfulness compared to, oh, hey, I'm here at Shoppers. I like to shop here. So clearly she would too. Like, that's the absence of thought to me. And I would say for me, so you've heard like basically anything and everything from my stepmother was just fucking atrocious. Every year, every holiday, horrible. One time, I got a gift that was nothing to do with her. She did not have her hands on it. It was obvious. My father actually made me, I'm trying to remember if it was Christmas or birthday, but one of those two. I got a box filled with Star Wars magazines, a couple Star Wars toys. Like, everything was Star Wars oriented and just everything with it. And I opened it up and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Cause it had like old Star Wars magazines, like from the original runs kind of thing that my father had found. And he was like, I thought that you'd really like that. Cause it was, I came across it and I was like, oh, I think she'll really like these for Christmas. I'm like, this is the best gift you've ever given me. And it showed that he actually
paid attention.
He paid attention. He had a thought. He didn't let her do it. He's like, yeah, I took control of the gift this year. It's like, thank you. Like, I wanted to cry because it's like the first time that you've actually shown in most of my life that you've listened to the fact that I'm a huge Star Wars nerd like you, and you went out and he fucking knocked it out of the park. Like, I sat there showing all of them. I got home like, look what Dad got me. And Mom was like, wow. I was like, that had nothing to do with it. She got the card and that was it. And I showed her, I was like, look at all these cool things. I'm like, oh, and then this one has this article about this, and this one has that, and I'll look at the action figure that he got me, and then, oh, look at this other thing that he got me. Oh, and this one's a poster for this. And she was like, holy shit, this is the best gift you've gotten from him ever. I was like, right? He was allowed to do it this year, and it showed. Never happened again, never happened after, never before. But I got one good memory to be like, yeah!
My dad has never in his life went and bought a gift for me or my sister by himself. Mm. He always would send my mother with the money to go get stuff. And he does the same with the Nazi. So even when we were kids.
That's just sad.
My mom did a lot. Like, when we were kids, mom did a lot of the Christmas shopping because my dad worked like insane hours. The man was a workhorse. No, seriously, he'd work 12 hours shift 7 days a week.
Jesus.
Yeah, I could say that was the excuse of my dad.
When he retired and my mom was still working, I want to say I think my dad liked Christmas, but I honestly don't know because we never really... He enjoyed making cookies.
he just wanted the cookies.
But, like, when my mom was still working and dad retired, we weren't kids anymore, but he started doing more on his own in the ways of shopping, because Darren and I weren't around for my dad to throw $150 at us and say, go buy your mother something for Christmas, you know? Because that's what he did. Like, when Darren and I were like teenagers, my dad would give us, like, money, and he'd be like, you know what kind of nightgowns your mom likes? Go buy her some. Go find them. And here's Darren and I driving all over the city looking, right? But as he got further into his retirement, he started doing more of the shopping. And, like, there was one year, he didn't buy, like, the gift. So my parents always gave my brother and I money when we became adults. But he had I love fishing. I love fishing. It's one of the things that I did with my dad all the time. He had got like weedless hooks, new fishing string, leaders and weights to put in my stocking. That was the first time he had ever bought a gift that was useful.
You're like, oh my god, this is the one.
Oh, he bought some gifts. I was like, thanks, Dad. You know, like, the fuck am I gonna do with that? So, yeah, but I'm not a Christmas person. I don't like Christmas. My family can tell you I don't like Christmas. Mm-hmm. When my kids were little, I don't know if I maybe rubbed off on them. I can honestly say I never was woken by my kids on Christmas morning. I had to wake them up.
That's me. Mama would get, she was the one that was antsy and mad because I would stay in bed. Like I was a kid, I would sleep until 10. She would come like thundering up the stairs, burst open my room and shake me awake and be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, it's sleeping. What do you want? And she'd be like, fucking Santa's been here. Get your ass downstairs. Like, I'd look at her, it's like, yeah, well, Santa's not going to come and take the stuff back. And I'd roll back over and she's like,
if I don't open it by noon, it's not going to disappear.
She literally told me, she was like, I'm calling Santa. He's taking it all back. I'm like, all right. I'm getting out of bed. Get out of bed. And then they'd obviously do the same thing each year, record all the stuff being opened. I mean, it was freaking fantastic. I loved Christmas back then. But I was not overly eager to get out of bed. I was like, no, I like sleeping. It's good in bed. Meanwhile, Mama's like, get up.
And we'd have our Christmas morning traditions, like Norm would make a nice fresh pot of coffee. Anybody out there that doesn't know, my husband roasts his own beans, so his coffee is. He would make a pot of fresh coffee, and we'd make cinnamon rolls.
Oh.
And then we'd take the coffee and the cinnamon rolls and the bottle of Bailey's downstairs while the kids open their gifts. So, you know, you couldn't get through Christmas morning without alcohol.
So, I love Christmas.
You sound like it when you say it in that tone. Well,
it's so convincing. It brings into like, well, no, because it goes into our mental health. So when I was a kid, like, absolutely loved Christmas. It was the one day of the year that my mom made an effort to not be drunk or stoned.
Wow.
We always had, honestly, as kids, lots of gifts, but it wasn't even like the gift part. It was in the mornings we would go to my grandma and grandpa, which was my dad's side of the family, and they wouldn't have like a meal, but they'd have like a big huge spread of things to pick at. And all my aunts and cousins and everybody would show up Christmas morning at my grandma's, and she always made tortillas, which I love, was my favorite thing. I didn't care. She made like freaking cod balls and shit. People love those. People liked all that. And the grass pies and stuff. But me, I was just like, oh my god. My meat pie. That's all I wanted.
Here's Taylor and I, grass pie.
Yeah, so grass pie would be, she would either use Swiss chard or dandelion greens, and I think sometimes spinach. And she would saute them with garlic and seasonings and that, and then wrap them in, it would be almost like what would be an egg roll type dough, and deep fry them. And everybody loves them. I do not.
That does not sound.
Almost sounds like spanakopita.
Like I am.
Without the feta cheese.
Yeah, the and dough fish is instead. That was just the grass pies. There's no fish in that. It was just the greens.
Oh, okay.
Just cod the greens. Balls isn't the balls on the fish, Taylor. It's no, balls it's made out of fish.
Yes, it's
that would be so gross if it was made out of actual balls.
They would buy salted like cod, and you let it soak and stuff, and
oh,
then.
God, I'm gonna vomit.
And then it, like, just chop up, like, once the, like, because you want to get some of the salt out, so it's not salt.
Yeah.
And then they, like, chop it up and would make, like, almost like a patty, but in a ball. Like, so if you made, like, salmon patties or whatever, like, fish cakes.
Yeah.
Cakes, like a cake type thing. But anyways, put it in a ball, bread it, and deep fry it. I don't like fish, so to me, I don't.
That's disgusting. I don't like it.
I was gonna say,
I don't like fish either, so.
But I like fish, and I'm like,
I don't know, everybody seemed to love the god balls and the grass pies. Not me, but I love the tortilla. But
I'll be honest, I think I would probably like the grass pies, because Swiss char, dandelion greens, spinach, I eat them all in a salad.
I was saying, like, they're not.
She didn't mix them all three. It would be depending on the time of year.
Yeah, she, I would if I could get all of them.
I would say they're not bad, but those are some strong flavor. Like spinach isn't, I don't find a strong flavor, but dandelion and Swiss chard, like that's some strong flavors right there.
Yeah, I didn't like them, but so we would do that. And then after we would spend a few hours there, we'd go to my Mim and Pips, which was on my mom's side. And again, my cousins and my aunts and stuff, which, like, I had my aunt, one aunt and uncle, they lived in the States and stuff. So they would come over with their kids, and we'd have an actual turkey dinner then with them. And so anyways, so, you know, that was as a kid, like, that was so, like, awesome. But then when my grandfather passed away, it kind of, my grandma still did the thing, but slowly as years went on and the cousins got older and that, and people like stopped coming. And it, meanwhile, when we were like kids, it was like a must. You had to be there, right?
Yep.
And then they stopped doing it. And the same with like my Mim and Pip and stuff ended up stopping because as they got older and that, yeah, and so now, like, my sister moved away, and I only had one sister.
Yep.
And then, you know, when I got married, I thought that my, I don't know, my expectation, my dream, I guess, my inner desires was always to have those big Christmas dinners with family and stuff. But then when I got married, that didn't happen because his parents hated me and wouldn't eat my food and wouldn't come over for the holidays because they said they ran a convenience store and said they couldn't.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So they couldn't close the convenience store, but to come for dinner, but they could close it to go for a week to New Mexico to visit his sister. So those dreams were dashed on that. And then when he left me, my dad, well, before even Jamie, once my dad started dating the Nazi, he pretty much abandoned me on Christmas to go to her family all the time. And then my divorce and all that. and he started going to my aunt's house and to her family's house. And so that left me alone on Christmas. And I tried to start with my holding Christmas Eve dinner and stuff, but slowly again that fades out and brings us to the fact that now I am disassociating with my dad and the Nazi. So it gets depressing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because you're by yourself.
Yeah, I think that's the hard, like, you fully understand why this time of year the suicide rates just, like, skyrocket around here, just because people have so many stories like that, and people put so much pressure on this one holiday. We're like, oh, well, it's supposed to be about family and all that, and you're supposed to get together, and this is how it's supposed to be. And what drives me up a bloody wall, and it's because I come from a small family, I freaking know it, but is listening to all of my friends or people that I've known over the years that have told me how much they hate their extended family, but they still get together with them for the holidays. And they're like, oh, hate my mother-in-law, hate my brother-in-law and his family, hate the aunts and uncles, and yet invite them into their home, make a dinner. And she's like, oh yeah, well, they're going to complain about my turkey this year. And oh yeah, Aunt Beth is going to bring her ham because she hates my cooking. But then that means that Charles is going to bring a steak because he hates his sister's cooking for this. And this one's a vegan, and this one doesn't like that she's a vegan, so she eats more meat in front of her sister.
Oh my God.
But you know, like, what? They don't realize if that was all taken away and they had to be alone.
Yep.
Of how much they would miss that. And how depressing. It maybe not the first year, but give it a couple years when the novelty wears off and you're stuck on Christmas all by yourself. Yep. Like, I love Christmas, like the decorations, the lights, the glitter.
Yeah, I love the lights.
I mean, I don't even put up a tree anymore.
Yeah, and I can say from that point of view, where when I was younger and I used to go see, we'd go and see like my aunts and uncles, like we'd have a dinner over at her place and have all the extended family together. I don't miss that at all. I miss none of it. I miss when we had our tiny family gatherings, but then that was ruined. I'm like, okay, now that I'm this many years out, I'm like, I honestly don't miss any of it. There's nothing. I miss not a fucking thing of it. The only thing that I miss is my papa.
And I remember, like, when we were young, we used to drive around and look at Christmas lights.
Yes.
And I, when I was married, I started that with my husband and stuff, because he never grew up doing that.
And really?
Yeah. Oh, his parents are, like, fucked. And his parents are basically narcissists like he is.
Oh, yeah. It's a learned behavior. So he gets it from someone.
And yeah. So, like, we would go and we'd go to Tim Hortons and get ourselves him a coffee, me like hot chocolate or something. Yep. And then we drive around and look at Christmas lights. Mm-hmm. And I miss that, too.
Yeah.
Mama and I still try and do that each year, but the sad fact is that not that many people do it anymore.
You know, I've noticed,
like, put up lights. I mean,
I've noticed in the past couple years that more people are starting to again.
Well, see, for me, it's been the opposite. I notice there's fewer and fewer.
I actually, on my way home from work when we're in afternoons, is nice.
That house on Highway 18.
Oh, right,
like the Griswolds.
Right in front, like, right across from the river?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That guy's got so much stuff up.
Taylor, if he has...
He has a huge front yard. 300
strands of lights. Or more.
He's got all kinds of things too, right? It is
magnificent.
He's got deer. He's got like the reindeer and the sleigh that light up. He's got like a holographic reindeer.
Damn.
He's got a huge front yard because it's a rich person, right?
His house is back a little.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gives him lots of wiggle room.
Oh yeah, huge, huge, huge back.
Every tree on his property, from the front door to the road, has lights on it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna need to we're gonna have to get the address from you for where it is, and I'll have to just take Mama out after dark one night and be like, okay, we're going for a ride. It's gonna be a far ride.
You know, there's a house too, right on Manning Road. As soon as you turn from County Road 42 onto Manning Road, heading towards the 401, it's on your left-hand side. There's a big white house, and they don't have strands of lights, I don't think, on it at all. But they have some type of spotlights that light up this whole house, and they change colors and stuff, and just the colors that they have that and how it is just aimed at this house, I think it's absolutely gorgeous.
Sounds nice, especially on a white house.
Yes, where you can really see all the colors.
It's like a white stucco house. And it's just I seen it, and it's like, it's nothing extravagant, but it looks absolutely beautiful. Whoever,
y'all are making me miss my Aunt Vera. That's what she loved to do. So she loved to drive around and look at the lights, and we would pile the kids in my mom and dad's van, and I'd be back there, and my Aunt Vera and my mom would be driving, and we'd just up and down streets.
Yeah.
Looking at lights.
Yep. That is my favorite thing about this time of year, is just getting to look at the lights, because I'm like, oh, those are so pretty. I don't put up any myself, but I love to see what people do, and I'm just like, oh, okay. And Mama and I judge them wholeheartedly. And if anyone's listening to this and decorating their houses, please continue. Tell me where. And also, for the love of fuck, stop getting those stupid blue, they're the dark blue lights. They fuck with your eyes, and they make you look like you're all fuzzy.
That's not eyesight. Christmas color either, I don't feel.
I'm fine with the color blue, but it's that stupid blue that when you look at it, it looks like it's out of focus.
Yeah.
I fucking hate that people buy them. Stop buying that. Buy the good lights. Any other color but that.
Right by the house, Peanut, on Highway 18, right before the light at number 10 there.
That one has all the blue.
They have the blue lights all around their evergreens. And
yeah.
I'm like, the dead people in the cemetery next door to you are going to haunt your ass if you don't take them down.
Yep, the whole thing. Everything is blue. There's no other color but blue.
See,
different shades of blue, but all blue.
Which I'm fine with the other shades of blue, because you can get, there's the one shade of blue that kind of looks, it gives it the look of Jack Frost or Mr. Freeze, whatever you want to go with. It's a startling blue, which I like.
And then there's that literally fluorescent blue.
Yes.
What I would describe it as. And it's like your pupils dilate. You can't see shit after you've looked at them.
You're like, well, tonight's evening is ended and I shouldn't be allowed to drive.
Should I eat a mushroom? Yeah. So I was thinking about something when Joyelle was talking there about her family traditions and that, and it kind of I don't want to say it was a repressed memory, but it kind of popped into my head something that probably led to my absolute disdain for the holiday. And that was the year my brother died. So he died November 11th.
Yep.
My parents sent me to Florida for Christmas with Anne's family.
Yep, I can guarantee that had a part to play in it for sure.
Yeah.
So not only was I still trying to process and mourn the death of my brother, I now had the feeling that my parents didn't want me around for Christmas because they hiked me off to Florida with another family. Like, I didn't see my parents on Christmas Day. I didn't see my brother, who was left at home alone with my mom and dad.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Yeah, I think.
That's weird that they would just ship you off and not him, too.
I was just going to say that exactly.
Yeah. Like, so, yeah, I think that would lead to some serious feelings of abandonment.
Oh, 100%, just because you're trying to deal with the
death of your brother. Yeah, I was 14. I was 14. It's not like I was in my 20s. I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
Barely 14.
Yeah, because you'd feel kind of like, why me and not him? Like, why not both of us?
Well, I was just going to say, that would be exactly
not even
my thought.
Not even the not him part, just why me? What is it about me that you're sending me to Florida? And probably had good intentions, thinking that I could use the time away, blah, 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 not realizing that I needed to be with my family at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever asked your mom?
No, I haven't, and I should.
I was going to say, she lives in your basement. You should.
No, it was just something that you said made me think about that. And I haven't thought about that in fucking years.
I know, too, a big thing for me for Christmas was, which I miss doing myself, is my mom actually used to bake a lot.
Mm.
And that, so she did a lot of home baking at Christmas. And I actually used to do that. I used to do a lot of baking at Christmas, and especially like when I was married. I do a lot of baking, and kind of like you did, Dana, you made trays, but I didn't sell mine. And that I would just give one, like I'd give a couple to my husband to bring to work with him. I'd give one for him to bring to his family gathering, one to my dad and them. And then we'd have one for like Christmas Eve dinner and stuff. Cause I love to bake, but not in my 1952 Holly Hobby oven.
I have now. Before Kim and I did the cookie trays for sale, like when my dad was alive and I had my mom and dad over to help me bake in that, I don't want to say my kids didn't want to partake in the baking of Christmas cookies, but my kids didn't want to partake in the baking of Christmas cookies. Sam had the patience to decorate maybe 5 sugar cookies. But my OCD driven perfectionist of a daughter took about an hour and a half on each cookie. Like, I mean, they had to be pristine and perfect. Love her for it, because she created some beautiful fucking cookies, but
like, that were then eaten.
You know, I say to Brendan, do you want to decorate some cookies? No. So, you know, so my mom and dad would come over and we would spend the whole day making like shortbreads and Hello Dollies and chocolate chip cookies. And my dad and I loved molasses cookies. So I always made molasses cookies for him and I.
I've heard of those.
My favorite is potato chip cookies.
I had those for the first time last year. Oh my God!
I don't know. Are they the same? I don't know if they're the same as what I make.
Mine have potato chips in them.
Mine have potato chips and butterscotch chips.
You better get to cooking, Peanut, because I need to try those.
Oh my God! I'm not kidding. They're my favorite cookie in the whole world. They stay soft and like chewy, and they're delicious. You can, like, even I'll eat them even out of the freezer frozen. Like,
I don't even know. The first time that I heard about that cookie, I was like, it sounds like a really fucked up cookie. And then I tried it, and oh my God. Yeah. They are so good, and I am starving right now, and I want them.
I'm going to look for a recipe for those.
Did they have butterscotch chips in them?
I think so. I don't remember where I got them from. Like, someone baked them for me. And yeah, Mama.
It's not something that is, well, like, the recipe is, I have it on an old recipe card that was typed on a freaking old typewriter that used to use a big metal typewriter with a ribbon on it. And that, it's probably from, like, the recipe's probably from, like, the 70s. And I've honestly not seen the recipe very often anywhere.
I've heard about a lot of people do it, but it's always, they're always like family recipes like that.
Yeah.
Nowhere sells it, probably because everyone's like, what the fuck is that?
Yep.
But I can't remember who the hell baked it for me, but they were like, oh, have you ever had that? I'm like, no. And they made it, and I was like, oh, why does this work so good?
I know. I was thinking of, I was going to make some and bring them to work.
We would all eat them, I can guarantee it. I love this time of year because everyone's baking and bringing it into work. And you're just like, oh, this is great. This is great. Like yesterday, one of the girls brought in freshly made cream puffs.
Oh.
They were the best cream puffs known to mankind. Bar none, and they were the size, like, you couldn't hold them in one hand.
Holy cow.
I found the recipes.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Those look like I'm going to try ones. Them. I'm going to try making them.
They're good. They're good.
What's in them?
There looks like variations. Like, this one looks like it has chocolate chips. The first one has the caramel. Well, it says butterscotch, and it looks like the recipe is probably from the 1800s.
Yep.
Lard.
Yeah, mine uses short. Mine actually says shortening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one says lard shortening in brackets. So.
Yep.
That'd be a good cookie.
I just say, you know, they're good cookie. Like, that's the
salted caramel potato chip cookies.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, no, that's different than mine. Mine are just like you put potato. It's basically.
I'm just saying these are all the variations of the recipe that when I Googled it.
Yeah, the recipe I have has shortening, brown sugar, white sugar, vanilla extract, potato chips, and butterscotch chips, eggs, and flour.
And I feel the need to share this fun-filled fact for all listening, and for you too, just in case you don't know it. Always make sure that you get actual vanilla. When you grab any of the vanilla extract, make sure that it's actually vanilla extract from the bean, because if it's not actual vanilla extract like that, it is from beaver butt. No word of a lie.
Yes, it's from their glands. I get my vanilla. Oh my God, I've been
using beaver butt my whole life.
Yep. I get my vanilla from Mexico, and it's pure vanilla.
Ooh. Oh, that's the good vanilla. I've
been using beaver butt my whole life.
Thank you, Catherine.
But you know what? Beaver butt's delicious.
Yeah, I was going to say, I never understood the reason why. Mama was always like, make sure that it's the right vanilla extract. I'm like, what the hell kind of other thing was it? She told me it was beaver butt, and I'm like, okay, what is it really? And then I Googled it and learned. I was like, oh, motherfucker.
Yeah, it's always buy artificial. Glands. Always buy artificial vanilla because it's cheaper.
Don't.
Because it's beaver butt.
It's literally from their butt glands. Beaver butt. Because someone at some point in time got close enough to their butt and went,
that smells like vanilla. Delicious.
We should put this into an artificial flavoring and people will love it. Nope.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of like all like how don't you ever wonder sometimes like who thought drinking off a cow's tit would be good?
Oh, 100%. I say it constantly, especially when I'm trying something new. And I try it, and I'm just like, if I don't like it, I look at my mom, I'm like, who the fuck was the first person to go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go up to a cow, and I'm going to squeeze its nipple. And see what comes out. I'm gonna taste it. It's like, were the other cows looking at them going, what the fuck?
But first I'm going to let it separate and peel the cream off the top, because that's the delicious part.
And then if I take it and I just beat the crap out of it, it'll turn into some spreadable butter stuff. It was like, who were the first people who discovered this? And it's how? Yeah. Then I'm just like, you know what? It's better I don't know, because I feel like it would not be good to know knowledge. This has gone off to a weird topic.
Cookies. But yeah, it was a good chat.
It was a good chat. I feel like I just, well, like I said to you guys earlier, that I feel like I'm having a midlife crisis or something, because I just feel like so, like, thinking back so nostalgically. About everything, and just those, the pure and innocent feelings and stuff that you had, like the simple joy of life as a child. Like,
and then,
like,
you got, I said, jaded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, like just standing out playing out in the rain and just simple things like laying in the shade under a tree reading a book.
Yes.
Riding your bikes 28 miles away from home and your mother thinking you're around the corner.
Right. Yeah. Oh God,
riding, you're like, where are you? Yes. I'm in a different county.
Yeah, pretty much.
You just had to be home before dark.
And even riding, again, like riding your bike, like you said, 25 miles and getting caught in the rain. Oh. And how it was so not a big deal. Whereas an adult, like, oh my God, now I'm all wet.
One time we rode our bikes to Sandpoint Beach?
Oh, past in St. Clair Beach?
Yeah. The beach. Well, whatever. We rode our bikes out there. And we spent the day swimming and whatnot, right? On the way back, we're idiots. We're kids, right? We're idiots. We decide to play tag on our bikes. Because, you know.
Why not?
My brother's friend was trying to tag me, got a little bit too close to my bike. And her pedal got stuck in my back tire.
No. Oh.
So my bike stopped, but I kept going.
I was gonna say I sense a fall.
And it was literally bum 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 boom right in front of the Crosstown 2 bus. Like the bus driver literally 3 feet from running my ass over. I had fucking road rash on my forehead, the tip of my nose, and my chin, because my face, like, skinned across Wyandotte. Oh. And I broke my wrist.
Oh, my God.
My bike was totaled. I got up, brushed myself off, and walked home.
Yep.
My dad was home. My mom was at work. My dad looked at me. He goes, what the fuck happened to you? And like my dad swore, but never like in conversation with his children. But he looked at me. He's like, what the fuck happened to you? I'm like, fell off my bike. I'm okay. In the meantime, I still have the scar of where my bone is sticking out of my wrist.
That's what that's from?
Yes. Oh my God.
And my dad's like, is your hand okay? As it's like hanging backwards and touching my elbow. I'm like, just get a tension bandage. It'll be fine. And I wrapped it up. He fixed the tire on my bike, which was like severely worn. We put a new tire on it. And I rode my bike over to Anne's house. Which was about 3 kilometers away with a broken wrist. Spent the night, and the next day I called my dad and I said, I think maybe you should take me to the hospital.
You think?
And he was like, told you so. Yeah, so when I got to the hospital, of course, back then, you didn't have waiting times. You didn't mm-hmm. have triage, right? You go to the nurse. My dad gets to the nurse. She's like, she fell off her bike yesterday. I think she broke her arm. He's so bluntened. The nurse is like, okay, come on in. We go into the little room. My dad's sitting there with me. And Dr. Copert, who's an orthopedic surgeon here in Windsor. Well, he may have retired now, but Dr. Copert comes in and he's like, we're going to send you down for x-rays and blah, blah, blah. So they send me down for x-rays, come back, and he's like, your wrist is like in 3 pieces. He goes, you need a cast on there. He goes, I have to reset your bones. I'm like, how are you going to do it? Crack!
Oh!
And he jarred my hand up. And they probably heard me screaming on the 8th floor. Of Meth Hospital.
The psych ward.
And
oh, sweet baby Jesus.
Then he put a cast on it and he looked me in the eye and said, next time you break a bone, don't wait a day to come in.
You're like, okay.
All right then.
I can honestly say that I have never broken a bone in my life.
Really?
Surprisingly, for the amount of times that I played outside, climbed trees, fell out of them, fell off bicycles while riding on the handlebars.
Oh, I ran my friend Tammy over doing that. She fell off and I ran her over.
Yep,
because I was trying to be a smart ass and ride with no hands. I'm like, look at us.
That is fantastic. Horrifying, but fantastic.
Oh, yeah, Peter, I get it.
Yeah. I don't know how I haven't, but I never have.
I got you covered because I broke enough bones for everybody here in our podcast. It was like from age... Oh my God, I think I was like 7 or 8 the first time I broke my arm. I felt 16 feet on a cement because I was a monkey. Yeah, so from like age 7 to 21, 21, that's when I broke my foot. There was hardly a point in the year that I never had something broken or sprained. I always had no wonder I had to get my knees replaced in my 40s, right?
And you know what the thing is too, is like back when we were growing up, like you had the monkey bars and stuff at school.
Yes.
And they were metal and you had gravel underneath as your landing spot.
Yeah, you didn't have that soft, cushy shit they have now, that's for sure.
You had like big old gravel stones down, and you would fall off the monkey bars onto the gravel, and yet I still never broke anything.
My God, you must have some good bones.
I got scraped.
I was just gonna say, that's the impressive part.
Yeah, I have had a lot of scrapes. I've sprained my ankle a couple times, skating. And that, but as far as like my wrists or anything else, I've never broken anything.
Unbelievable. That's awesome. Anyways, ladies, we should probably start wrapping things up. I know we missed a couple weeks, but there's no need to undate our viewers, our listeners, with 5 hours of chatter.
Yes, I'm just sitting there going, oh my God, why won't they stop?
So before we go on a totally unrelated topic, because it's not holiday Christmassy at all. No. I have a friend who is a creator on TikTok. And she does book reviews. But the book reviews, pardon me, sorry. The book reviews are extreme horror, splatterpunk, taboo, dark romance, things like that, right? So she just in the videos that she posts about books that she's reviewed, I've like got a list that's Santa's list right now for books that I need to read because they all sound so wonderful. Follow her on TikTok. Her name is The Macabre _ Bookshelf. Repeat. @ The Macabre _ Bookshelf. I will post this on our website. I will post her info on our website. And on our TikTok, I will tag her so that she knows. But yeah, please go and give her a follow, give her a like. And if you're into books like that, watch some of her videos with her reviews, because she's actually been able to give shout outs to authors that have written these short stories or collections. And it's nice to see somebody supporting local authors, self-publishing. So, yeah, just go ahead and give her a like and give her a follow and build up her list so that she can get that check mark.
She just wants that blue check mark. Then she'll be legit.
She's legit. No, honestly, I think if you're a fan of that genre, if you read books like that and you're a fan of that genre, you would absolutely love her reviews and the books that she talks about. So, okay, now, our goodbyes.
Ho, 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 we out.
Well, hopefully we'll get around to doing another episode next week.
Yeah, we should be able to.
Yeah. So the reason why we were 2 weeks behind is because Peanut and Crispy worked a lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is our busy time of year where we work. So there's no light nothing, allowed.
So I probably could have did a podcast by myself, but I didn't.
What I was thinking about today? What were you thinking about today, Dana? Well, Dana, I was thinking.
My special guest today is Zeus. Wow. So, wow. Zeus, how's life on the end of the coach?
I can see that catching on.
Yeah, so
for probably horrible reasons, but yes.
So hopefully we'll get one tomorrow. I don't even know how close we are to Christmas. What's the date today?
Today's the 10th.
Okay, so we're 15 days from Christmas. I don't know if we'll do an episode on Christmas Eve.
I'm fine with it, but yeah, I think you're doing your dinner that day, so.
Okay, yeah, it's my brother coming over, and he's not coming over until 2:45, so.
Oh, that's true. So we might then.
So if Peanut wants to do a podcast before she comes over for dinner.
Hint.
we can. Okay, so then we will be here for two more weeks for sure. And then, oh my God, ladies, in January, we're going to be coming up on our 1 year anniversary.
Actually, we're going to have to do something special for that. I don't know what, but we'll have to do something special.
I think we should get more followers on our Facebook page so we can collect stars.
All right. Well, then that shall be our goal for the new year.
So Taylor's going to give you all our social media info.
All right. Yeah, let's see if I remember.
With all the holidays and the working, like, I know I've definitely lagged in just research or even looking at our Facebook page, and that I've been so tired and busy.
I would say, I know I have a couple things. I was like, oh, this will be good to post. And then it's like, oh, my eyes shut. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to stay up to date. I am cross-stitching like a fiend because I want to get my sunflower finished by the new year so I can reframe Starry Night and finish that one. So go ahead, Taylor, social medias.
Okay. So our social medias, if I remember correctly, you have our our email address at depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com. We also have our Facebook page under the same name, which please give us a follow. Send it to all of your friends. We're going to try to get more interactive again because we're now coming to the end of our busy season and life will get slower for us. You can also find our episodes posted on Dana's formerly known as Twitter. Sounds like freaking formerly known as Prince. Now known as X. Yeah, well,
literally it's just a symbol. It's an X.
At Scooby71, S-K-O-O-B-I 71. You can also find it posted on her TikTok under the same kind of handle of Scooby, S-K-O-O-B-I. You can also find the episodes posted on my personal, what is that thing called, Instagram, at GoddessTayTay25. I think I got them all.
That's I'd also good. Just like to say that hopefully that, for me, I think we discussed this briefly before, maybe in the new year, as an episode, we were thinking of maybe going to a medium.
Oh, yes.
And, discussing our experience at the medium. So this could be, this could go either way, good or bad. Could be funny, could be sad.
It'll be interesting either way, friends. So, for those of you who are going to get busy in the next couple weeks and won't be listening to us, we understand. Hurtful, but we understand. we wish you guys and gals, we wish all of you people, friends, a very, very Merry Christmas, Happy Holiday, Happy Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate. And if you don't celebrate, just have a good day. Enjoy. Don't drink and drive. Save a life.
I agree. Happy holidays to all.
Huzzah.
And good food. We sound so thrilled.
Remember, friends, from December 23rd to January 1st, there's no such thing as calories.
Yes. Best news ever.
That is my Christmas gift to you all.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
And for those of you that will be with us next week, we'll be doing it all again.
Woohoo. Bye, everybody.
Everyone.